Well, Happy New Year, God's people. This morning we are observing the Feast of Epiphany, which celebrates the journey of the three wise ones who followed a star that led them to Bethlehem, to the Christ child. This story emphasizes themes like searching and discernment and revelation, along with having some elements that seem straight out of a network drama series: mysterious faraway travelers, a frightened king and kingdom, messages through dreams, and a covert departure. Now, in seminary, I learned that Epiphany, which is always on January 6th, is what we call an immovable feast, which is a feast day that cannot be transferred to a different date. You will note on your bulletin that today is January 5th, because after seminary, once I started serving in parishes, I learned that it is one of the most commonly transferred feast days. And why? Why? Especially when some of the most theologically progressive Episcopal priests I know are absolute sticklers for liturgical rules. I can't answer for all of them, but we are observing Epiphany at St. Peter's today because we recognize that not everyone would be able to attend a service tomorrow, and that the themes and the meaning of Epiphany feel too important not to celebrate here together as a community. And along with Epiphany, it is a new calendar year, and many of us are thinking about the ways that we'd like to change or improve ourselves. And even for those of us who are not making resolutions, I'm guessing that all of the ads you are seeing are trying to convince you that you should, and that they have the necessary subscriptions and materials to help you do so. And so I was thinking about how it would be easy to confuse this new year, new me culture with the promise of Epiphany, that if you commit to the journey, your dream will be fulfilled. And it is this potential overlap between new year, new me and Epiphany that serves as the very place where the scandal of the gospel awakens us once again. Because the star that led the wise ones, the journey that they took, the gift that they discovered, turned so much of our world, including its promise of perfection, on its head. And so I want to reflect on some of what the Epiphany reveals about who God is, the way God turns the world upside down, which is really right side up. And while each of these really could be their own sermon, I'm offering them today as what a clergy friend calls BLTs, blessed little thoughts. And in a way that's different from a traditional sermon, I'm not telling you what to take away. I'm offering these blessed little thoughts and asking you to pay attention to what of them sticks out to you, and to commit to holding them, deepening them, and expanding them throughout this season. So let's go. From the East. So Matthew tells us that the wise ones came from the East. And think about this. They are bringing news about God's chosen people to the chosen people, which would have been a shock for people who saw themselves as the center of God's story. And so from this, we remember how God uses unlikely people, especially outsiders, to reveal how God is at work in the world. And perhaps we consider the ways that we center ourselves at the expense of others, or how we've inadvertently acted as if we have a monopoly on the gospel. He was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. So then Matthew says that King Herod and all of Jerusalem were frightened by the news of Jesus. But like the wise ones, God asks us to seek not from a place of fear, but from a place of curiosity, faithfulness, and praise. And beloveds, does that mean that we are never afraid? Of course not. But fear cannot be what drives us. In fear, we grasp for control and power, two things that God has never promised us, two things that God surrendered through the incarnation, and in doing so, freed us from their false promises. I ask you to think about what in your life would make the gospel be frightening news instead of good news. And I ask you to notice that it is not the people who have the most to fear it is not the people who have the most to fear, but the people who have the most power, the Herods of then and now, who justify, concede to, and act from their fear. It's not the people who have the most to fear who act from fear. It is the people who have the most power who do. God calls us to exchange fear for wisdom, wisdom that is shrewd and prudent, enough to know when to go home by another way, and always grounded in hope. Okay, next one. Love those on the journey with us. Now, if you look at your gospel, Matthew didn't say this. I don't know if the wise ones loved each other, but God seems to want us to have companions for this journey. And I think that this has to do with the truth that God does not withhold God's promises until the end. And so there are signs of God's love all around us, especially through the people in our lives. Beloveds, let us not be so focused on the future or on the end that we fail to notice and love those who make this journey with us. And not only are we invited to love those on this journey with us, but also to recognize that God loves us here and now, just as we are. So much of our culture says that once you look like this, or you get that job, or you buy these things, well, then you'll be who you really are, and your life can begin. Beloveds, our lives have begun. They are happening now. And how long these earthly lives last is not guaranteed to any of us. God does not wait until everything is perfect to love you. Neither God's love nor God's economy relies on our perfection. They and we rely only on God's grace. It is not wrong to set goals for a new year. We thrive on threshold moments for meaning and renewal. But beloveds, please do not for one second let those goals convince you that God could love you any more than God already does. God loves you as you are, and I believe desperately wants for you to love who you are too. And finally, a brief meditation on the nature of light. Reading a commentary on Isaiah, where Isaiah talks a lot about the light and the dark. In our passage today on Christmas of people walking in the darkness, seeing a great light. And what I read in this commentary has stuck with me because of how it reminds us of the nature of light. How light, just like a newborn child, well, you don't know exactly what the light will reveal yet. It hasn't reached its full potential. But you know the promise of light and the effect of light. Even the tiniest spark or a single candle, especially in the darkness. Just like a newborn child, You don't know exactly what the light will reveal yet. It hasn't reached its full potential. But you know the promise of light and the effect of light. Recall moments when you have experienced the promise of light, the effect of light, the warmth, and the illumination of it. Beloveds, more than anything this year, may we hold to the nature of the star that we follow, one that is ahead of us and yet always with us, revealing what is beyond our control and also beyond our imagination. Not a star to wish on, but a star to guide us today and always. Amen.